Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Don't hesitate to drop us a line anytime. Don't forget you can find 3 months of our shows archived on the podcast page at stevejonesshow.com, and we can also send the show straight to your tablet and smartphone when you subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. Podcast numbers have been up the past month or so. Thanks so much. If you catch us on the podcast, easy to subscribe. Just go to either Google Play or the Apple app or Apple Podcast app or iTunes. Just type in Steve Jones Show, subscribe, and once our shows are finished and archived, they'll go straight to your mobile device so you don't miss any of our great coverage, especially of Penn State football here over the next 3 weeks or so. Get you all the information you need to know as the Nittany Lions will prepare to play Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. And, of course, we will have that for you live on News Radio 1070 WKOK Saturday, December the 30th. Airtime will be 2:30 with a 4 p.m. kick. A lot going on in the NFL, especially with last night's matchup. Wow, that was a knockdown, drag-out, back-alley, 15-round slugfest between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. And it started out with a very ominous start beginning to the game, as the game was not even a half a quarter old when Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier had to be taken to the hospital suffering a back injury. It was right about the time when the Steelers hopped on the plane, before they hopped on the plane to go back to Pittsburgh, a little after 1 o'clock this morning. Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert released a statement that Shazier underwent a CT scan and an MRI at the hospital, which was located about 10 minutes away from Paul Brown Stadium, closest hospital to the stadium. According to the statement, Shazier not needing surgery at this time. Mike Tomlin had his press conference 3 hours ago. He really did not share any new information. We'll see if we get any new details from the team later today.
Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter about the football part.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that part's kind of like it's like a bonus as far as I'm concerned. That was bad.
Yeah, I was so close. I was so close to turning the game off at that point. I mean, I was just...
Well, I still haven't seen it.
I was just numb just looking at it. I mean, he was leading with the crown of his head, and that's been a red flag for Shazier the past four seasons, where the tackling technique could be a little different, a little more toward the shoulder and not the helmet, and just the way he went in to the wide receiver's hip, it was just a freak occurrence.
Right. Well, like I said, I have not seen the play, so it's not a because I was doing a game at the time when it happened, so I have not seen it yet. But from everything that's been described, let's think about quality of life first, and then let's think about football second.
Yeah, out of all the crazy tackles and high hits and all of that that took place in that pretty much ended up as a brawl in last night's game. I mean, that was an attempt at a clean tackle.
what Juju did last night was wrong.
Oh, it was. Right? Yeah, right. I mean, if he would not have, and that's in case for those that did not catch here over the past hour, Juju Smith-Schuster has been suspended for one game. If he didn't taunt Vontaze Burfict, I don't think he would have got suspended. I mean,
No, I agree. I agree with that. Absolutely. He's only suspended because of the taunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason he's suspended.
At fast speed, it looked like a clean hit. At another angle, slow motion, it almost kind of looked like his helmet is kind of going up into the jaw of Vontaze Burfict. And some were thinking, if he was just 6 inches a little lower on the tackle, it'd be a completely clean tackle.
If you were a big fan of the Steelers and you're a big fan of Hines Ward, you think that's really great. If you're a fan of any other team, this is the Hines Ward rule. Okay.
I would say right now, in terms of Cincinnati Bengals fans, Juju Smith-Schuster is the most hated player. Hines Ward, move aside. Now it's Juju Smith-Schuster.
Well, no, I'm saying, though, but that block's illegal because Hines Ward made it illegal.
Yes.
All right. He's the reason, because that's a safety. I mean, you know, that's a safety thing right there. Mm-hmm. And look, everything's going fast. Juju Smith-Schuster did not, in any way, shape, or form, try to do something dirty or illegal. But it just turned out that what he did was illegal. Based on, you know, because you're not allowed to crack back like that. Because it's a safety issue. You're just not allowed to crack back. And so that's where the violation was. But then standing over him, that's what got him suspended. It's like, come on, go back to the huddle. Now, I know he's just a kid. Didn't he just turn 21?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yep. Yuck.
And I'm not going to hold it against him in his career that, you know, that he did something like that. There's a lot of emotion in a game like this and so forth. I got that.
Yeah, beloved Philadelphia, former Philadelphia Eagle John Runyon, he is now the vice president of football operations for the National Football League. He just released a statement. He said, the passing play with 7:10 remaining, you lined up a defender and delivered a violent and unnecessary blindside shot to the head and neck area. Then you celebrated, quote-unquote, celebrated the play by standing over him and taunting him. The contact you made with your opponent placed the opposing player at risk of serious injury and could have been avoided. Your conduct following the hit fell far below the high standards of sportsmanship expected of an NFL player. And Tomlin pretty much agreed with that in his presser a couple of hours ago. He said, yeah, this is a teaching moment for the kid.
Right. And look, it's fast, it's bang, bang, you're out there. He's trying to make a block because he is a good blocker. He's a very good blocker. So, I mean, his intent was to make a block. His intent was not to do something dirty. It just turned out that what he did was a penalty. It was the penalty was the correct call based on what the rule is. But it's all, everything happens out there so fast. I mean, you don't have time to sit there and think about, unless you're Rob Gronkowski with a guy laying on the ground, you don't have time to sit there and think about.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because already people are comparing to what Gronk did on Sunday and what Juju did last night and think, okay, both get one game suspensions. Some feel, okay, Juju got one game for last night. What's that tell you about Gronk on Sunday? And he puts this almost WWE-esque kind of move on a receiver who's, you know, on his stomach on the floor.
Except they're apples and oranges.
Right.
Okay?
It's two completely different plays.
Okay.
Sure.
Two completely different plays, and here's the reason why. Gronk is suspended for what he did. Juju is suspended for taunting. All right? Juju is not suspended for the hit. He is suspended for how he reacted after the hit. If he had not reacted after the hit, he would not have been suspended, in my opinion. Gronk is suspended for the hit. See where I'm going here?
Absolutely. And I've seen some various NFL beat reporters already say, oh, Gronk should be taken out the rest of the season. He should have been suspended 4 games for the move. I don't know about 4. That may be a little extreme, but yeah, you're comparing two completely different plays.
Right. Now, let's get to the other part. He's suspended for 1 game. Now, I'm surprised Gronk even appealed the darn thing. Why is he appealing it?
Well, especially the game was barely over, and to Bill Belichick's credit, he went to as many Buffalo Bills coaches as he could and apologized for that, for the move.
Right, right. But here's my point, all right? It's a competitive point. Take your medicine, take the one game, skip the Miami game, that way you're back for Pittsburgh. Which, you know, they're all important, but in reality, in the big picture for the Patriots, what's the bigger game? Yeah, you can tell me all you want, Miami's a division game. Ooh. Okay, great. That's fine. I think they're okay in the division. They're trying to fight for overall record. So don't sit there and start messing around with appeals and things like that. Just take your one game and go on. That's what I think.
You're that, Zeke Elliott?
What did I say at the beginning? What did I say at the beginning about him?
Yeah, take it now so you don't have to worry about it later.
Stop messing around with the legal system. Just take your suspension and move on. I'm not a quitter. Anybody who knows me is, I am not a quitter. All right? You know, I forced the suit to quit. No.
After a year and a half, now we know the rest of the story.
I couldn't resist. That's such a cheap, easy joke.
Yeah, but this will make for a great topic at the party next week.
No, I thought the entire idea was to have a good time, thus we're not going to bring it up.
Okay. All right, I'll walk that back.
Just so everybody knows, I'm kidding about that.
We are.
But I'm not a quitter at all in anything. I've never quit in anything in my life, ever.
Well, I know your brother Kevin would tell me that, and just the one time I saw you on the golf course, I saw those competitive juices flowing.
Right. I mean, but at the same time, you also have to look at something and say, okay, wait a minute. To him, taking the medicine and saying, look, I'll take the 6 games now, is I can then be back for the last 10 games and we can make some hay here instead of making it every week like a and then it causes consternation, turmoil. And sometimes you got to look at the big picture and I realize he doesn't want to admit guilt. He hasn't been found guilty by anybody. What, an NFL investigation? What? Yeah, that's a crack group. The police department is investigated, complaint, whatever, and he hasn't been arrested for anything. I'm just being fair to him now when it comes to being suspended. So I said at the beginning, just take it and just move on. Same thing with Brady. Brady finally ended up just taking it and missing 4 games, and they won the Super Bowl. Same thing with Gronk. Take your one game, miss the Dolphins game, you got off light, and that's a problem. And as for Juju, he earned his one game. Yeah. And again, the rule was put in part because that's how Hines Ward would block, and it was very effective for Hines Ward. Very effective. All right, we'll take a break. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, I guess in the hallway at the station today, the suit was trying to demonstrate to Mark Lawrence what happened in the perfect play, and
that wasn't good. Yeah, that was ugly.
I know.
Not good.
It's not. And not only that, but the suit executed it all wrong. Hey, you know what you and I should do? Next Wednesday. We should go over to the Shamokin Dam basketball game. Just say hi to the Chief.
Absolutely. I haven't seen the Chief in a couple months.
Yeah, that'd be good to see, Dan.
We're overdue for some Chief.
Yeah. Who's he worked the games with?
Oh. That's right. That award-winning announcer.
Yeah. He submits enough of them. No.
Hey, you're one of the most humble people I know, because I'd say to Kevin, it's like, did you submit some info from your show with Steve to see if he can get an award? It's like, nah, I'm not going to worry about it. Nah, that's like, as long as we just keep doing what we're doing, we're fine. We don't need the hard work.
Every 2 weeks, I get what I need to let me know it's okay. That's why the baseball award I won. Somebody asked, like, "Well, what was the process on that?" I said, "I got a phone call. They told me I won." I said, "You out of people? What?" I was actually supposed to get it next week in Orlando, but I'm not going. So, it's. I'm going to the party instead. Yeah. I mean, especially now we got the good news. No, I'm just kidding.
Kidding. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. What did you say? What time's the party?
No. The party's like at 6 o'clock, right?
After 5 when we show up.
Then the suit could probably be there at the beginning. The game's not till what, 7:30?
Ish, yeah.
Ish.
I thought they went on the air at 7:06 or 7:09 after CBS News.
Well, if the party's at 5 o'clock, you can hang for like 45 minutes and then go. I realize that going towards Shamokin Dam, there's a rush minute. But,
Well, Shamokin, not Shamokin Dam. He'd be heading to Shamokin.
Oh, he'd be going, oh, yeah.
Yes.
So.
I've mixed that up, too. I did that all the time when I started down here 22 years ago. I'd always mix them up. I'd throw the dam in by mistake. Yeah, well, that can also get you in other kinds of trouble.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but there's only a rushman in that area, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. I mean, he can go to the party for a little bit, and and then we can make it in such a way where, by the time we're done, he can't wait to get in the game.
All right. A-team's here. You're free to go. Have a great game.
Maybe I'll text him.
He should be here. I just saw him in the building a little while ago. He already walked in. He's not play. His game doesn't. His first basketball game of the season not till Friday night here on WKOK from the Tawanda tournament. But was already down the hall 3 days prior checking the equipment. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just making sure everything's there. I said, that's Harry's got that covered. It's all good.
A good pro does that.
Yes.
He's also making sure that he takes pieces from other equipment so they don't have it.
That's all taken care of. That all equipment's been stored and back where they need to be. So there's no, what would they say, pillaging?
That's pretty much taking.
Right. Kifing.
All right. So I just sent him a text. We'll see what he says.
Okay. Stay tuned.
All right. I know. Oh, wait a minute. I misspelled resignation.
Penn's Tavern is where you want to celebrate this holiday season. Whatever feel you're looking for, Penn's Tavern along the Susquehanna River can accommodate your needs. Mountain stone walls and wood floors can be found in the original dining area, giving you that old world charm. Continue back to the newly renovated River Room with 12 PA microbrews on tap. Grab a burger and sit back and relax in this cozy pub area. Penn's Tavern has the best gift certificate offer for the holidays. Buy 5 gift certificates of the same denomination and receive a 6th one free. Penn's Tavern, a piece of heaven on Route 147, 5 miles south of Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's just one sorry excuse after another, Sean. Listen to this text exchange.
Oh, here we go.
And most of the words, by the way, are misspelled. So, will you make the holiday party? No, not this year. I have a game. I text back, game at 7:30. 7 airtime, actually 7:06 in Shamokin. Okay, like, I do games at Iowa and North Carolina. Seem to be a bit further away than Shamokin. All right? And I have to record the interview at halftime of the JV game. So I text back, party at 5, man up. That's what I leave for Shemokin. You're forgetting. I don't have Tarvin to set up for me. Let's not make this seem like it's... Okay, this is not the surgical suite over at Geisinger.
That's right.
Okay? It's plug into wall, okay? Plug into back. Now we're done. I mean, he makes everything seem like... I mean, he acts as if a surgeon has a much easier job. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way.
I have been with him at a few Shikellamy basketball games, and I know the my limitations. He does a phenomenal job doing the play-by-play, but you're right. It is kind of, with the equipment, you know, it's pretty much plug-and-play.
Really?
The challenge is finding the spot where they put you at to call the game and just getting a you know, close enough place where you can, you know, power up and get everything set up and ready to go.
Look, this is not the Manhattan Project.
No.
Okay. This is setting up equipment to then broadcast a game. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Oh. You notice how everything he does, he makes it into, you won't believe how hard this is. No, it's actually pretty easy. Like, oh, all the travel you do. No, I get on the plane. The guy flies it. I just kind of sit there.
Just sitting there.
I just sit there. It's just time consuming. I mean, you know, it is that. Let's see. This day in sports history, then Chris Mack on the Steelers last night. 1908, the University of Pittsburgh numerals were first used in football uniforms worn by college players. 1970, the Stanley Cup, Conn Smythe Trophy, and the Bill Masterson Trophy were stolen from the NHL Hall of Fame. Eventually, I did return them. All right. 1973, Ron Santo became the first major league player to veto a trade. Ooh. Pete Rose signed with the Phillies on this date in 1978. Contract 4 years, $3.2 million, highest paid athlete in team sports at the time. 1983, the video arcade game NFL Football unveiled in Chicago, the first video arcade game to be licensed by the NFL. Are there still arcades? I'm asking you. I don't know. Are there still arcades?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep, you have the... Pennsylvania Coin Operated Hall of Fame, which is a little north of Pittsburgh. Have a chance to been there twice so far.
Okay, very nice.
So during your college days, did you ever stop by Playland or the Campus Casino down on College Avenue? No? Never did that?
No, I never did do
Not
that.
Not really?
It's just, this wasn't really
not your deal?
Now, my kids will tell you, there was a point where, Pac-Man...
Pac-Man was huge. As I was getting out of junior high and into high school, I loved to bowl when I was growing up, and you'd go inside the door, hang a right, there'd be a video machine over there, and Pac-Man was there. Oh, yeah, guys would line up and stack quarters and wait their turn to play it. Yep, 81, 82.
I mean, for a couple months I played, I was actually pretty good at it. I mean, in fact, my kids are surprised when they're like, hey, Dad, you're really, it's like, okay, man. Because we have one that we can put on TV. If they're here for the holidays, we'll mess around and play on it. But wow, the masses with my dexterity. All right, so 1995, Dan Marino, the Dolphins passed for 300 yards in a game for the 52nd time in his career. How old is Dan Marino now? Dan Marino's what, 52? 53, 55, 50, maybe he's 56. He's better than Tom Savage. All right, so, I mean, I'm talking about now.
Born in 61. 56.
Okay, if I were Bill O'Brien, I could look, just like for a month, okay? Play for a month. Steelers in a brutal game last night rallied and beat the Bengals. Chris Mack joins us. Chris, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us on the other end, my friend.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me. And I'm sitting here wondering to myself, would the Cleveland Browns be interested in Marino if all he ran was just that fake spike play over and over again that he beat the Jets with that one time?
No, I don't think the Browns would take him. He's too good.
Tank, baby, tank.
I mean, you got to give the Browns credit. I mean, there are many organizations that in a conference room say, let's try and do this with one arm tied behind our back.
At some point, they're going to give in and actually bring Kevin Costner in to be the real GM.
There you go. Last night's game with Cincinnati. Obviously, it's another night where Cincinnati gets off to a great start and so forth and plays well and blah, 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 and then doesn't win the game. What's the difference between the Steelers and the Bengals, in your opinion, as you watch the two of them?
I think the Steelers have, and this is an intangible. There's no way to measure this, but we've seen them do it at least three times now I can think of off the top of my head, and they put themselves in a bad situation, but they're able to flip a switch. Now, this isn't going to work against New England in 12 days. This isn't going to work in the playoffs. It may not even work Sunday night against Baltimore, who's improving and starting to find their stride a bit. But they've been able, against the Colts, against the Packers, against the Bengals last night, to flip a switch and turn the offense on and slow down the opposing offense enough at times that they're able to come back in these games. And, you know, the defense is clearly got injury issues starting to pile up from Hayden to Mitchell, and now Ryan Shazier, your concern isn't even about football with him, but clearly that's another injury they'll have to deal with on the defensive side. So the offense, for some reason or another, is scuffling at the beginning of games, even though they've scored on the first drive. I want to say something like three out of the last five games. They're still taking some time to find their rhythm, and it seems to me, at least, that rhythm more often than not comes with the no huddle. Once they embrace that no huddle and it gets them going, it gets that offense into a rhythm and they find themselves. But whatever it is, they've got this uncanny ability to flip a switch and turn it on.
Your thoughts? I mean, not only to lose Shazier last night, as you correctly point out. Look, you know, it's not the football part you're thinking about. Making sure his future in life is fine. They also lost Manikavich last night. What were your thoughts on how they adjusted to that?
I mean, it looked to me, at least initially, that the Bengals were trying to feel out L.J. Fort, who was playing that position, and I think they were trying to soften up the middle of the defense from the moment Shazier left the game, really. And I think they found some things over the middle. I think they found some things down the sideline with A.J. Green, just because A.J. Green is who he is. So, you know, I think they rightly tried to attack those soft spots on the defense, and it worked to an extent. You saw them go after Cody Sensabaugh when they saw him lined up over A.J. Green. Again, rightfully so. Cam Sutton got more snaps in the second half, which is something we had not really seen to this point in the season. So the Steelers are going to continue to try and adjust on defense, but it certainly gives an opposing offense and their coordinator or their quarterback more spots to target on the defense as they continue to get thinner. Now you're looking at, okay, we've got a corner out. We can target that other side if we don't want to pick on Artie Burns. We've got the starting free safety out. Maybe we take some shots down the middle of the field or try to draw that safety away from the middle of the field. And now with Shazier out, we're going to take some. We've got the whole middle of the field open to us, and you know, you saw again. Although I don't think it's related as much to the injuries, again, a running back, Joe Mixon, before he went out, was able to exploit some cutback lanes and break some tackles against this defense. Even though they spent a day last Thursday in pads practicing tackling, which NFL teams rarely do during the regular season, let alone in Week 13.
That's right. I mean, they rarely do that. Once Roethlisberger found a rhythm, I always laugh at the, to me, one of the funnier stats is, he has 46 fourth quarter comebacks. Right? Does anybody ever ask the question whether the quarterback was partially responsible for you being behind?
All right. Exactly.
Nobody ever asked that question.
How many picks did he throw in the first half?
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, we had to come back because you really weren't that good. I thought he was actually pretty good. I mean, I only saw the second half, obviously, because I had a basketball game I was announcing last night. But what is it about him in those moments and about the Steelers in those moments in the fourth quarter when they have to battle back? Why do they seem to lock in the way they do?
I think it, honestly, it does have a lot to do with Roethlisberger, and he's been in the league so long, and he's been the field general for them for so long that I think a lot of those guys, you know, especially the younger ones, they were kids when Ben Roethlisberger's career started, and this guy. And, you know, they look at this guy and they say, okay, this guy's going to lead us down the field. And even the veteran players, you know, Ramon Foster, speaks every week, and he mentioned it again this past week about how Ben walks into the huddle and says, okay, let's go do this, and it gives you a sense of calm. So there's something to be said for the fact that he has done it that many times, and whether it's been because he put them in the hole in the first half or not, you know, he takes charge of the huddle, and when they go no huddle, more importantly, they find a rhythm that I think is really I think that's this offense's, you know, sort of magic magic weapon, secret bullet in the postseason or against New England in a couple of weeks. That no-huddle offense, when he gets rolling with it, it gets rolling downhill, and it's kind of like a snowball. It just gets bigger and bigger, and momentum builds and builds.
Yeah, I mean, my point was not actually about Roethlisberger. It's just about the stat in general. Nobody ever asked them, you know, Matt Ryan has led them to 22 fourth quarter comeback. Really? I'm so impressed. Okay. Anybody take the time to see how Matt did the other three quarters and why he had to lead the pack?
Exactly.
The Le'Veon Bell factor. Obviously he's in full swing doing what he does. When you look at other teams around the league, is there really anybody else in this guy's all-around category?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, there were times last year where Ezekiel Elliott, I thought, showed being right there with him, but Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he ends up leading them in receiving yards last night as well. He's such a dual threat. You see him pick blocks. That's part of the reason James Conner's had a hard time getting on the field, because he doesn't block as well as Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
So, I mean, the guy really does it all. And, you know, the question will be, how much longer can he do it all? And what does the toll on his body mean in another two or three seasons from now? And that's something the Steelers will have to weigh when deciding whether they franchise him again or decide to try and extend him. And that's a big offseason play that we'll certainly keep an eye on. But I think, I don't see anybody. And the patience just gets, it's even more so. It seems, you know, they threw up a stat on Monday Night Football last night, something about average time to the line of scrimmage from the handoff. He leads the NFL, and it's a ridiculous number. It's something like 3 seconds. Which, when you think about it, count in your head, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. He's just back there dancing, waiting for the hole to open up. And more often than not, it works out. His instinct, it gets him to the right spot.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It's amazing how they have that stat. They don't have the stat about how far the quarterback
is. They've got stats for all of it, Steve.
They have it all, Chris. Schedule gives them Baltimore on Sunday night, which is playing better defensively than New England. So your thoughts on this week, and I'll make one side comment. Why is Gronk appealing his suspension? Why?
I think their hope is that maybe they can get out of it. I'll be honest, I don't know. It's a pretty blatant... You know, if it had been multiple games and he was trying to appeal it down to one, I would understand the appeal a little bit more.
You've got Miami Monday night. You've got Pittsburgh the next week. Take it and go. That way he plays against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I talked to a couple of people whose belief is that even the appeal will probably be heard out by the end of this week. So there's, I know a lot of Steeler fans were wondering, well, is there a chance that the appeal lags over beyond the Monday night game against Miami, and then somehow they uphold the appeal and he misses the Pittsburgh game? It seems like the league ought to move more quickly on this, and I would suspect the appeal probably gets turned down fairly quickly. You know, we're probably looking by Thursday or Friday, I would think, and then he sits down for the Miami game. But as far as the next 2 weeks go, I think, you know, with Baltimore getting better but now having to deal with the loss of Jimmy Smith, who's out of the season with the Achilles, I think... Again, the question will be, do the Steelers come out and score on the first drive, and does the defense contain Baltimore? Flacco started to look better the last couple of weeks. Do the Ravens couple both their familiarity with the Steelers' defense and what they do with all of these injuries starting to pile up, Hayden, Mitchell, Shazier, and try to attack the middle of the field and try to go deep on the Steelers and get those big plays that we saw Cincinnati get a couple from A.J. Green, one that was called back. We saw Green Bay get from Brett Hundley, of all people. We've seen teams pile up these big plays against the Steelers now over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and if Baltimore can get a couple of those, then yes, it's going to continue to make it a game, and we may be talking about another last-minute Steeler comeback to try and win a football game. That's not going to work against New England. Against New England, if Tom Brady's able to get those big plays, he's going to keep taking them, and he's going to keep taking them and keep taking them, and that's not an opportunity. As good as the Steelers' offense is capable of being, Tom Brady in New England and with Gronkowski back, you would think for that game. I don't want to get in a shootout with them if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers. That to me is going to be really, it's about how Brady and Belichick decide to attack the Steelers' defense, and what players are still out, still injured at that time will have something to do with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, Brady, I think, is there's no quarterback that sees everybody in the field like he does. Nobody. I think Roethlisberger, sees 18 out of 21 chess pieces. I think Brady sees all 21. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's amazing, the not just the vision, but he comes to the side. It seems like every drive he comes to the sideline that they don't score, he's screaming at somebody. So the perfectionist in him pushes them to keep doing it every single time out. So.
Chris, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for jumping in there with some great material. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Thank you.
Smack from Pittsburgh. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Ryan Shazier is still hospitalized in Cincinnati. He's going to be there at least 48 more hours. But here's the statement released in Cincinnati. Ryan Shazier continues to be hospitalized at UC's Health University of Cincinnati Medical Center that has undergone a series of tests to evaluate his spine injury. He'll continue to be monitored and treated by the neurosurgery experts at UC Medical Center until he's been cleared to return for Pittsburgh. It is expected that Ryan will undergo additional testing and evaluation over the next 24 to 48 hours and then return to Pittsburgh to receive further evaluation and care at UPMC. So that is the story there. It's, it does get to a point where, as much as, you want to see him out there playing football, this is one of those moments where you're like, well, this is a little bit more important. As to where he is, and the other part will happen later. Let's make sure he's cleared and out of the hospital first. There's no indication of the extent of it. It's just the fact that he is staying there for a while does lend you to go, okay. It's much a little bit more of a process. But again, you saw it last night, Sean, and you thought it just looked awful.
Yeah, it was just kind of a fluke play. He goes into the wide receiver's hip and leans more with the crown of his helmet, and it's just that's been kind of a red flag with his technique ever since he joined the team, getting out of Ohio State. I mean, you saw a few of his games when he was with the Buckeyes. I mean, did you kind of notice anything in terms of tackle technique, or did Jack?
No.
Yeah.
No, really didn't. The thing that jumped out about him right away was his speed. The speed is what jumped out about him. It wasn't really about tackling technique or anything like that. He seemed to, he could break on a ball because of his speed. He could make plays because of his speed. And never really took into account tackling technique with him. Because it was never an issue. I mean, he never got laid out at Ohio State. So it was never an issue to even think about. All right.
Yeah, I think you just combined the speed with the, just with that technique of launching and just,
Yeah, launching, that's, it's a violent game. Launching is an issue. You do put yourself at more peril when you do that. Wow. All right, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.